So how do we chip it down into something that's so consumable, something that's so simple, that it would be silly for us not to take that action? And then we build consistency around it.
Family life is essential. Jim and I are on a mission to help you live the best one. You'll hear personal stories from thought leaders of strengths and struggles with proven strategies to help you make the most of your 18 summers. I'm your co-host, Jamie Shields. Hello, 18 Summers Tribe. We're excited to be here with Mike Sesniak. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So Mike is an entrepreneur, consultant, and coach certified through the High Performance Institute. He's the president and head coach at the Result Engine, where he helps door-to-door, should I say D2D?
Door-to-door is fine.
Okay. Sales professionals scale their production and increase commissions by a minimum of 30% in 60 days or less. He's also the host of top-rated podcast, The Results Engine Podcast. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
So much of what you teach and guide others through is leveling up, right? Would you use that word leveling up? You know, their productivity, 100%. Hacking fear, just really getting to that maximum level.
Mm-hmm.
And now, so many people, in order to get to that maximum level, have to get through some barriers, fear, disbelief. What are some of those barriers and how do you guide folks through these?
Yeah. So, I mean, if we were to really zoom out, almost all the barriers are stories in some capacity, right? Like when we get more granular than that, we're usually doing it in a way that allows us to take a back seat and deflect blame. Mm. But at the end of the day, almost always it comes down to the stories that we're telling and what we're empowering around what it is that we need to do, what's happening around us. Like, I'm a firm believer that everything that's happening in our lives, the successes and the failures, like they're all our fault. Right. And when you can take that personal responsibility, everything changes. So a lot of the work that we're doing with our clients, by the way, none of it has anything to do with business. Right. We just happen to have found our way into this door to door niche, which is super interesting. And we get to work with phenomenal people. But the work that we're doing with people in the door to door space is the same work that we're doing with our clients in the corporate sales space, in the real estate space, in the online marketing space, in the small business owners community. Like, it's all the same. We just aim it at business so that they can get a stupid ROI on their investment, right? But it's breaking through these stories. It's rewriting stories and finding ways to put ourselves back in the driver's seat, no matter what it is, right? The same decision-making process we do to scale our business is the same process that happens in the home with your family, right? When we can understand that and we can navigate that, we're back in the driver's seat instead of like being in the back seat of an Uber without telling the driver where we want to go. As my dog breaks into the office, if you heard that.
Three right outside.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shaq does not listen. You see his ear right there.
Is he a shepherd?
So all of our audience right now is going, oh, he definitely belongs on the 18 Summers podcast because we have dog interruptions all the time on this channel. So
exactly. He's half chocolate lab, half Australian shepherd.
Oh, we have an Australian shepherd.
She doesn't listen either.
No.
She's like the worst dog, but she's the smartest. Yeah. It's so funny.
Well, on this side of the room is like pocket doors. So he found out when he was really young, he just turned 10 recently, but when he was much younger, he realized that he could just bash his face into it because the lock on it is just like one of those, like it just goes like the little hook. So if you hit it hard enough, it just pops out. So he's like, it just assumes that that's how he can just enter whenever he wants.
That's productivity in itself. We can learn lessons from our dogs. Yeah. We say that.
Exactly.
You know what I want to ask you, Mike? Obviously, you work with a large front of different niches in business. And obviously, we do the same with families. In the business realm, you know, hacking fear now, I think, has probably become more essential in the last 16 months than ever before. Is there like a common fear that crosses all of those niches? Is there something that like rises to the top that's always kind of at the forefront that you're dealing with? Is there like a common fear that needs to be hit, you know, across all of those niches?
I mean, usually, again, if we were to zoom out, I guess the most generic way to talk about it would just be like fear of actually taking action, right? which is really, it's an interesting thing, because if we were to ask anybody consciously, they know exactly what they need to do, but they're not doing it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, why is that? And if we're going to really talk about the fear of it, it could be fear of judgment, fear of failure. Like, this, at the end of the day, there's something holding us back from actually executing. Mm-hmm. And that's really where we're working with our clients a ton, is how do we build some structure that allows us to break through that consistently? Right? Because at least in door-to-door, consistency is the biggest word. I think it is in a lot of areas, but mainly door-to-door, in a space where, like, you're purely commission sales, you only eat what you kill, right? In many of the areas, the deals are super fat. So you'll only close 3 or 4 deals a month, but you'll make $15,000 to $20,000 a month, right? It leads to a lot of, like, volatility. So consistency is that big word, but the thing holding everybody back is they're not actually taking the action. Right. And they'll tell different stories. We all tell different stories around what it is that's holding us back. Like, I'm afraid of what people will think or whatever it may be. But I mean, how you break through it is all fairly generic. It's the same thing. It's like, cool, we just have to show up and take the action.
How do you get people through that thin paper wall of actually taking the action? Is there something that people can start to use to take that first step?
Yeah. Well, first is realizing that it is paper thin. Right. And our stories are super powerful. But once you have that dialed in, I mean, I always revert back to something that I learned from a gentleman named John Assaraf. And John, yeah, great guy. For people that don't know John, he's very well known in, like, the neuroscience space, I guess, like neurohacking type of stuff. But prior to that, like, he bought and then sold. He built Remax Indiana.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Because I'm a real estate investor. So he did business in Remax back in the day.
Yeah, Remax Indiana, it's like $1 billion a year or something, and then sold it. So, like, stud entrepreneur. Yep. I was on a call with a mastermind that I was a part of. We were talking about it before we press record here. And I asked John, this is like January of 2020, I think. No, 2019, maybe. And I asked John, I said, John, at that point, obviously New Year's resolutions are big, right? So I have a lot of people in my messages saying, like, Mike, I want to get back in the gym, but I just can't find the motivation. I'm like, okay. So I'm like, John, can you help these people? And if so, how? Because to me, this screams I'm interested, but I'm not committed, right? And what he said to me was super interesting. And I think it applies to hacking fear, breaking through these paper thin walls really, really powerfully. What he said was, when you're trying to build a habit, the most important thing is actually doing the thing, whatever the thing is that you're trying to build the habit. It's not the volume, the intensity, the quantity with which you do those things. It's just doing the thing. But most people, they focus on the scale, right? That's why 99% of people fail their New Year's resolutions by January 13th, because they think that they can go from working out 0 hours a day, 0 days a week, to 2 hours a day, 6 days a week. And anyone that's ever done that knows that, like, that ain't going to work. So I think when we talk about being afraid of taking action, whatever it is, action to build our business, action to boost something and, like, build culture in the home, like, whatever it is, we get afraid of it because we look at the scale and we're like, holy crap, like, that's a lot. Like, that's pretty nerve wracking. And we allow it to just stay as an idea, just how everyone came up with the idea for Uber, right? One person built it. Well, a team of people built it, but you get what I mean. So when we're focusing on the scale, it holds us back. So when we can focus on just building that action, just taking that action, sometimes we need to reduce it to the ridiculous, is what John said. And I love this phrase, right? We need to reduce it to the ridiculous, because the quantity, the intensity, the volume, all these things, they'll come with time.
Yeah.
Right?
Give an example. What would be an example? Sure. Of reducing it?
Sure. So I'll give you a perfect example. We use door to door because this is what we do every single day. We had a client in solar, right? In our programs, we have a bunch of different phases. Doesn't really matter what actually happens in those phases. The most important thing is that that volume increases with time, right? So we get very, very quantifiable around what we're going to be doing on a daily basis. I'm an engineering nerd at heart. I spent 7 years in corporate writing software and writing order processing systems. So, like, men lie, women lie, numbers don't lie. So we're very data driven, right? So we have very quantifiable action tasks and lists. And typically, as we're progressing through the program, we're going to be increasing that volume, right? But we can only increase it if we've earned the right. Not like my clients earning it from me, but them earning it from themselves and proving that they can hit the previous smaller number.
Yeah.
So when we get to phase three, usually that's when we're like, we're chasing this idea of capacity. Like we're absolutely going full throttle, but it's not uncommon for, you know, occasionally maybe one out of every 15 or 20 clients of ours, they're still struggling to get the execution up. So there was one time where instead of getting, depending on what you're selling door to door, like the volume that you knock, how many doors you're knocking, it will change, right? If you're selling pest control, you're going to be doing like 100, 150 doors a day. If you're selling solar, I got clients that knock 20 doors a day and make six figures a month, right? So it's very dependent on your industry. But for our solar clients, one of them, he couldn't get the numbers where he needed to be. So in phase three, we actually dropped it to one door a day, literally one door. Right? We got as ridiculously low as we possibly could. And what happened is the previous month, I think he actually bageled. He had zero deals the previous month. And before that, he was doing about two to three. We dropped to one door a day and he closed eight deals that month.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Shows effectiveness.
Because no one's going to go out and just knock one door, right? Like that's just silly. You're not going to go to the gym just to step on the treadmill and walk out. But in theory, that's all we're committing to. Right? Like that's the, there's a great book called Mini Habits. I say great book as if I've read it, but I heard a lot of people in my network rave about this book. And that's exactly the same concept, is we boil it down to something that's so consumable that it would be absolutely silly for us not to do it. Yeah. But then what happens is you do that and that leads to the chain effect. It leads to more doors. It leads to whatever, right? So
totally does. And as you're talking, because I'm like, oh, I want to say this. Oh, but it's good that we created an entire picture, because here's what I'm hearing. So much parallel in family time and giving the commitment to focusing on what you're trying to grow, taking out, you know, all of these excuses and stories you've told yourself. Oh, well, I was on the road for all these months, so of course I'm not close to my children. Or, oh, well, I'm the main breadwinner, so of course it's going to be a little different. So because you're deflecting that blame, you feel totally guilty, you know, right? Like, oh, well, I'm not there. And then you give yourself this excuse, you deflect the blame, and then you don't keep committing. You don't keep showing up because you've already written this story of it's totally cool for me to check out because I do X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
But instead, like you're saying, break through that paper thin wall and be like, wow, these people just want you to show up anyway, any form, any shape, but just like do the damn thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you're saying, just get... You know, like start with one high five a day, or start with one hug a day, or start with a good morning versus pretending like someone doesn't exist, right? And then you keep doing the thing.
Yeah.
And then it grows and grows consistently.
100%.
Yeah. And like you're saying, making these deposits, even if you're just doing the one thing a day, do it every day. You know, I mean, what
consistency is the key.
And then that grows, and then your ROI grows, right? Because you're doing it for 1 minute, but then you're doing it for 10 minutes. Like whatever it is, do it consistently. And you will see it consistently grow. Interest versus commitment as well, right? Like, oh, I want to hang out with you, but yeah.
Yeah.
Again, just doing the thing. So,
you know, what's really interesting is when we're building out these blitzes with our clients, we always include what I call the life stuff, right? And we quantify that too, because let's be real, like we're in this to make a lot of money for what? Right? Like, what's it all for? It's not just so that you have a stack of cash that you can go to sleep on. It's like to fuel something that you care about, or to give back in some way that you want, or whatever it is. And the running joke for me always when I was growing up is like, by the time you can afford the car, you can't fit in it. Like, that's not high performance, right? So we make sure that we're lifting up all areas of our lives while our business grows. But what's so cool to me is that the transformation, like, yeah, our clients are closing more deals and helping more people and making a ton more money, but it's not the transformation. Like, the transformation always happens in the life stuff, yeah. Right? It's like this stuff. So door-to-door tends to be a fairly young audience. So it's like prioritizing calling their family because they're living across the country knocking doors for the summer. Or like prioritizing, I had a guy that literally prioritized a specific minimum amount of time to spend with his fiance just like non-negotiable minimums, like things like that get, as the other dog tries to break out of the house, things like that are where the transformation always happens. It's always in the life stuff. And it's the same exact mechanism that allows us to build the momentum in both areas.
No, I love that, Mike, because when we do certain, we'll go into entrepreneur groups, and Jamie and I sometimes will do a joint talk called Date Night with a Question. And these are high performance people. And I'll have them say, I'll say, how many of you have a meeting with your sales staff, same time, same day, every week? And 85% of the room goes up. And I say, do you have a finance meeting? Yes, everything. And I said, yeah, me too. Every Thursday, 3 to 5. I say, when do you have the, what day and time is the date with your spouse every week? And less than 10% of the room can answer. And I said, this is where we have it. Like you said, do the thing. I said, if you will just set same bat time, same bat channel, that thing, that's a starting point.
But
people want to leap to that next seventh level, like you said, instead of starting with the thing. And one night, non-negotiable, between this time and this time, same day every week for the most part, have an alone time with your spouse, significant other. And that one thing, I think from our times on the road teaching entrepreneur groups, has changed more relationships than anything. And it's not that complicated. Like you said, it's that starting point, one thing.
Yeah, I love that. My girlfriend and I, like, we always joke about it because I'm a huge advocate of date night every single week. Like, it's non-negotiable. Even when I'm trying to, like, I travel for work on occasion, like whether it's seminars or speaking or whatever. Other than that, our business is entirely virtual, but it's not uncommon for me to be on a flight here and there. And when we do that, cool, our date night, it has to shift sometimes, but it still gets done every single week. And she's launching a new business. So that date night, what it looks like is probably going to shift again, Ryan. We're going to have to evolve it, but it's still going to happen in some capacity.
You know, forefront, like you said, well, yeah, we know we got to move it. It can't be Tuesday now, but we got to move it to Wednesday or Thursday now. What are we going to do? And it becomes a priority because you've put that thing into motion. But you're shocked on the other side, since you're performing on the business side and the family side, like you said, it is that one thing, but how many people will not take that first step to schedule something consistent? And it's hard to explain why, but I think what you said too, it's stories. We start to tell stories. I have to be working all the time or it's not going to be successful. I need to be at the office late, or I'm not doing what other entrepreneurs are doing. How do you get people? I'm sure you work with that, because what I love is you just took things down to efficiency. Look, don't worry about this. Let's do one a day. And the numbers actually more than double.
Boosting the productivity. That's what I'm like. Isn't it crazy how we can reduce to grow?
Yeah. You know?
I mean, keep it simple.
Less is more.
Yeah.
Always. So how do you convince that crazy entrepreneur or like me saying, I got to do more. We can't just do better. We got to do seven things at once.
Yeah.
How are you slowing them down? Because I know when you say that, they're like, oh, forget it. I'm not doing just one a day. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I'm sure you face that all the time where there's naysaying. So how are you getting people through their complicated minds to become more simple and more successful?
Yeah. So first of all, you're spot on. It's the number one thing that I hear every single time I'm saying this, is because you also got to remember, like, door to door, I mentioned earlier, door to door is a young, like, it's a very like alpha group. Right. Like, you have to be a savage to go and knock doors for a living and get doors slammed in your face all day. Right. So it's the first thing that I hear from everyone that I mentioned that to. They're like, that's not even worth my time. I'm like, cool, test it and then show me the data. Right. Again, all data, no drama. That's one of my coaches always says to me, and it's so spot on. Right. Because we have data that can show, like, hey, this is what happens when we do this. You know, one of my dear friends, his name is Ricky Mendez, and he was the first one that shared this with me. He said, people think that the universe rewards scale, but it doesn't. The universe rewards consistency.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
And the gym example is spot. Like, it's why people fail New Year's resolutions. One, they don't know how to set goals. And two, they don't know how to build sustainability and consistency into those action plans. Right. But for me, my nerdy brain is always just going back to numbers. It's like, I'll just show you the numbers that prove why you need to be doing this, right? Like, because we can look historically, oh, you set a target for reading 50 books this year, and you did the math on that, and it means you needed to read 40 pages a day, and you did it for a month and a half, and you read 7 books, and then you never picked up another book for the next 11 months because you freaking burnt out.
Yes.
Whereas if you just read 5 pages a day spread out over 365 days, that actually would lead to what, 12 or 15 books, depending on the average book size. So I always go back to numbers. We have a lot of data from our client pool right now, so it makes it a lot easier to sell these guys on the idea. But when we can just look back at the sheer numbers of what, again, like everything's quantifiable if we just figure out what the metrics are. On the life stuff, we get to have a little bit more fun and get a little creative around how we're going to quantify things. But when you know what the output is in business, it's super simple. Yeah. We could just go back to the numbers. I spent the entire morning this morning figuring out exactly what we need to be doing from our output perspective to get to our enrollment target for the month. And I know what every single number looks like.
Interesting.
Right. And then I can play with the conversion percentages. And it's interesting when you get the conversions up, the volume that you have to do actually goes down.
Yeah.
Right. That's so less can be more if you do it properly.
That's the big thing. I think there has to be an expertise like you have and can offer to people. For an example, we have said, look, put these 3 to 4 rhythms into your family life. They're not going to get you the whole way there, but they might get you 75% of the way there. And that's a long way. Mm-hmm. But people don't believe it. And we've done the same again, skeptical. Like one of our friends, his name's Ben Greenfield. He's a big trainer. He started training Jamie, his friend, for years. He said, Jim, I'm going to have you go into the gym 3 days a week, do 5 exercises, but slow down the reps to a ridiculously slow rep. That's all I want you to do. I was insulted. You know, I said, well, I've been working out for this and, you know, P90X. And he said, just do this. In the last 7 weeks, I've become more strong, more fit, more like, and I'm going, you got to be kidding me. I'm in there 25 minutes, 3 times a week, instead of the, you know, overtraining, the less effective. And I think that's the important thing where I'm always asking and telling my kids the same thing. If you want to learn how to bake bread, go to the baker. If you want to learn how to cut meat, go to the butcher. If you want to learn how to be more productive, people have to be able to go to this because they might have the desire, but then the desire doesn't get you there. You have to have that 1% of knowledge like you're offering to put it into motion.
Yeah.
And I just commend that so much because what I see, what you're offering right now helps family life. Because if you're not hacking your fears, you are just swirling in circles of lack of performance. And obviously you're never going to feel the right.
Well, and it's totally full of the stories we tell ourselves. And it comes back to, you know, being able to hack that fear and boost the productivity. How do you think that we can guide, you know, ourselves, but also our children in realizing, you know, these stories that we tell ourselves, which we're all living these out, you know, and the experiences and the choices that we make today are going to affect that. And then also in this time in which we think everybody actually gives a shit about what we're doing or saying or being, right? And so the only person to try to bring that home, you know, what are some things that you guide others that may help us understand and help ourselves, but also our children into knowing, you know, it's really not, nobody really cares. And whatever you do to try to impress or whatever you're trying to put out there is going to affect these, what goes on in your head for a very long time to come.
Yeah. That's a really challenging question, especially since I don't have kids. I'll speak about it generically and then maybe we can riff on it and dive into it a little deeper. But at the end of the day, as humans, I think that we just think that people care about us way more than they actually do. Like, in the grand scheme of things, no one freaking cares at all. Especially right now, they have their own shit to worry about.
Exactly.
They're not caring about what we're doing at every moment. And I think when we can really embrace that, like I'm someone that has always, I was the type of person that always said that I was an introvert until I found out what introverted really meant. And then I realized I was an extrovert that had a ton of social anxiety, two very different things. And for me, that was always because I cared way too much what other people thought about. Right. And I still do, by the way, I'm still working on that, but at least I'm conscious of it now. And I can realize like, okay, well that doesn't matter at all. And this is actually going to get me where I want to go. And is the impact that I'm trying to have in my business that important to me, actually? Like if our business is for purpose. So the more money we make, the more we can give back and support, you know, the companies that we've partnered with that work in the human trafficking space. And am I really going to care what like Johnny345 said on Instagram versus actually putting in the work that's going to lead to more enrollments, more client success, more revenue, and ultimately more giving back so that they have all of the support that they need in their orphanage? Like, yeah. Am I that selfish that I'm going to care about what Johnny345 said? Right.
So, how do you guide to help people not care? Because obviously at some point in time you cared, right?
And I still care.
Yeah.
We all do. Get better at it. It's not a perfection.
Yeah.
Do you think that ties into caring less? Like if you tie what you're doing to your
1,000%. So that leads to the second, what I was going to say in the second part of that answer, which was really, I guess, to your first question. But when we really look at, kind of ties into the reducing it to the ridiculous piece. Like, the age-old cliche is how to eat an elephant, right? One bite at a time.
I say that one all the time. Like, God.
Exactly. Exactly. So how do we break through a fear? Well, we're afraid of taking the action, right? Probably because the action, we're going the scale route. So how do we chip it down into something that's so consumable, something that's so simple that it would be silly for us not to take that action? And then we build consistency around it, right? Just like in the gym, we progressively overload the weight. If you can't bench 225, you're not going to be able to bench 275. You're never going to even think about putting it on the bar. Yet we do that in all areas of our lives and our businesses. We haven't earned, again, it goes back to earning it. We haven't earned the right for us to even remotely believe that we could do that in that capacity. So we have to trim it down and we need to build consistency around executing at that level. That then becomes the baseline.
Absolutely.
Right? And that consumable amount, we can then increase it. It's the same exact mechanism, no matter what that action that we're afraid of is. So that's how we always do it, is like, one, we diagnose like and look at, okay, what actually matters right now? What are we afraid of? And then how simple can we make this so that we can start to chip away at it, right? As for the stories and how purpose ties into this, one of the first things that we do with all of our clients is we take them through the 7 levels of why, 7 levels deep. Dean Graziosi made it most famous. I don't know who actually created it. No one's really reinventing the wheel here in the personal development space. Maybe Dean did. I'll give him the credit because he's the one screaming the most from the rooftops about it. But we always hear like, if your why doesn't make you cry, it's not strong enough, right?
Interesting. That's a good one.
But like, it's cliche for a reason. It's because it's true, right? And when we ask someone what their why is, it's almost always surface level. It's like the tip of the iceberg.
Wow.
Right? And that's not enough.
Prod for it a little bit, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you ever seen like the success meme on Instagram where it's like the what people see and it's just like the tip of the iceberg, but then the whole thing is underwater?
Yeah.
Right?
The office used to be covered with those.
Yeah.
Yeah. And our purpose and our why is the same exact thing. And we're only relying on that little tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
But that's not deep enough. There's no leverage. That's not going to propel us forward. Like, when people think that their why is purely financial, that's never deep enough. And it's never like, when things get difficult, when you have to confront these fears, it'll never, never be enough leverage for you. So to that point, like, we have to go deeper. You just YouTube 7 levels deep. And there are some videos, I think Dean talks about in his book, Millionaire Success Habits as well. I think that's where it like really became popular. But there are clips from like when he did his book tour and like on podcast talking about it. And I think to your point, like, that's exactly how you can propel yourself forward, is when you really know what you're doing. Like, think about how powerful it is. Like, when I'm just worried about sending a message, this is literally what held me back in my business. I was afraid to message people. I thought I was going to put out content and everyone was going to flock to me. I was going to be rich because I helped so many people, right? Wrong. I was afraid to message people because I was afraid of people calling me a fraud, right? That didn't grow my business.
Yeah.
So when you just look at that, I'm afraid of people calling me a fraud. Cool. I'm going to obviously go back into my shell and not send messages. Versus when I look at, wow, if I don't send a message, I'm not going to enroll anybody. And if I don't enroll anybody, then I don't have any money to donate because it's a gross revenue share.
Yep.
Right. So I'm not actually just holding myself back. I'm actually being super selfish, because I'm allowing my feelings to hold me back from executing on something I'm afraid of. And what's actually happening is I'm depriving these children in the orphanage that need protection. They need, I need to help pay the salaries of the people working. Yep. They need clothing. They need Christmas gifts. They need, you know, to be able to pay for their soccer teams. They need groceries. Like, it's pretty damn selfish of me.
Different level.
That's powerful. And that's definitely something.
We just got back from a 4-day trip to Guatemala where we were in the orphanages down there. So,
oh, really? That's so awesome.
Very powerful. All the things you're saying obviously hit. And I even said that I said, and there's nothing wrong with it, but I'm not a motivated guy by Rolexes. Mm-hmm. I like to wear the same black t-shirt every day. You know, rather than board shorts than fancy pants, but something like that, I can say, okay, as I grow my business, I can help with more of that. So there is an extra propeller going.
High tide rises all.
There it is.
And so. I think too, you know, some of the two of the things that you said, I think are questions that are even simple enough for us to ask even our youngest children, what matters and what are you afraid of, right? So those are two things to start, you know, helping our children understand, you know, like you're saying, it's not just about what we're doing. It's about what's next. It's about what's influenced by what we're doing and the next processes. So really those two questions, I'm like, wow, that's really powerful. Cause those are simple, you know, maybe as our children are struggling, knowing that it will work for us as we struggle, but thinking as we can lead or guide our children through some of this fear and productivity, you know, what matters and what are you afraid of? And then if we're bold enough to ask those questions, then being bold enough to help them navigate through these things to get to the other side and see just what you're saying.
Yeah. Powerful questions lead to powerful answers, right? Like something I always go back to is the rules that we're all living by were set by people no more powerful or no more intelligent than us. They just had the audacity to ask the questions and bring something to life. Yep. Right.
Absolutely.
And one other thing on this topic, and then I'll get off the soapbox, but I want to share this and I'll speak to it generically and you and your audience can figure out how to apply this to children. But one thing that I think is really powerful when it comes to breaking through these fears is, again, it comes back to the stories. We can tell two radically different stories about the same truth and both of them can be true, but one will serve us and one will make us a victim.
Oh, yes.
Right. So for me, where I always go and the questions I'm constantly asking my clients is, which of those is going to serve you? Comes back to the purpose thing. Like, which is going to actually bring you where you want to go? Because both technically could be true. And yeah, sure, like throw your pity party if you need to, but then get back in the driver's seat because we have an impact to make on this world. And when we realize that it's not the truth, it's like it's their truth. Right? Like that perspective shift can be really powerful when you see like, oh, maybe I just need that 2-millimeter shift that will give me a whole different perspective of the landscape. And that new perspective might actually put you back in the driver's seat.
That's good.
I love that. Yeah. Note to self.
Before we ask the group, Mike, where everyone can get in touch with you, we have a finale question we always do, and that's called the 75-year-old self. We like to ask the people, you know, years from now, hopefully, you know, still doing well and still in the game, but a lot of wiser approach to life. You know, what advice do you think your 75-year-old self would give today?
I love this question. So where my mind immediately goes is, again, I'm 30 years old and don't have a family, don't have kids yet. My girlfriend and I are just very focused on building our businesses and our relationship. And we're super excited about that, but that's all definitely in the cards. Mm-hmm. And I'm really excited for that part of life. And my biggest fear is missing out on the big things because I thought they were little things. And I was focusing on other things that I thought were big things, but were actually small. Nice. Right? It scares the shit out of me. Yeah. So if I were to put that into advice from a 75-year-old perspective, I'd imagine at 75 years old, I probably know what the questions are going to be. My advice to myself would be really audit those questions and figure out what they are so that I can get to the truth of like, what are the really big things that seem small, but are really big so that I don't miss out on them.
That's great. That's I love great. That.
We'll Thank you so much for being here. Yeah. Where can our listeners learn more about you?
Yeah. Well, first of all, thanks for having me. This is a really fun conversation. We got to talk about like different perspectives of this stuff that I don't usually get to talk about. So it was fun. Number one place, social, Instagram is the main platform. From a content perspective, we're putting out the most content on the podcast, which is just the results engine. So wherever people are listening to this, it probably is. We're going to have you guys on the show, which I'm super excited about. So by the time this goes out, it probably will be live. So yeah, just the results engine podcast. And Instagram is just my name, at Mike Sesniak. So I probably have to link that up because the Polish Z's scare everybody away.
We will definitely link that up. Thank you so much for being here. It was such a treat. And I know that we all learned a lot. Thanks for having me. Take care.
Thanks for joining the 18 Summers podcast and putting your family in priority position. Subscribe and leave a review and help other families just like you.